Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket at will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. It's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
We're back for more Drive Time Sports right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Continuing to recap some of the best interviews on the national level that we had throughout 2020. The last two shows have been a lot of fun. A lot of football talk, a lot of baseball. We're going to continue down that path today. Wade Phillips, one of the greatest defensive coordinators in the history of the NFL, had an opportunity to catch up with Coach Phillips. Of course, he's not in the NFL right now. However, there have been rumblings that he may make a return to the Las Vegas Raiders. During the pandemic, the early stages of the COVID-19 pandemic, when sports were shut down, Coach Phillips joined the show. We talked about all kinds of great things. His book, his father, his time with the Broncos, winning a Super Bowl, his time with the Los Angeles Rams and Sean McVay and going to a Super Bowl. Very, very entertaining interview, and we will play that today. One of my favorites of 2020. We also had a very interesting guest, Tom Callahan, a very well-known writer from Time Magazine. He released a book, and I'll tell you, one of these days, I would love to do the same thing because it's just a story, his story of behind the scenes, him meeting professional athletes and the stories that go along with it. Everybody knows what happened in the Thrilla in Manila. Right? Everybody knows what happened. Everybody knows what happened in the Rumble in the Jungle. Everybody knows that Roberto Clemente got the 3,000. But what about the backstories and what these reporters see beside the main piece itself? I don't know. That just fascinates me to no end. Great stories from Tom Callahan. He talked about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Ali and Clemente and Jackie Robinson. It was fascinating. One of my favorite authors that we have ever had on the show. That's what's coming up here on the best of Drive Time Sports, going over some of the best national segments of 2020. We're back after this.
You hear that? Yeah, me too. Who wants to go out in this? I do. This winter, get your family and friends together and get to Gateway Lanes. Gateway has open bowling Monday through Saturday, and the snack bar is open. Times for open bowling are Monday through Thursday, noon to 5:30, and noon to close on Friday and Saturday. 94th South Main and Helper. Gateway Lanes can help ease the pain of your winter blues.
So you just got home from work and you find that your fur baby is sick. Just like when your child is sick, you don't want your poor dog to suffer overnight. But who do you call? Emory and Carbon Animal Health is here for you. They offer after-hours emergency pet care, so you don't have to spend the whole night worrying. Just give them a call. 637-VETS, any hour of the day or night, and they will be there to help. With a friendly and knowledgeable staff, your fur baby is in good hands at Emory and Carbon Animal Health. Call 637-VETS.
The hunts are here again, and this year you're going to be ready with a new truck. Well, at least a new-to-you truck. Desert View Federal Credit Union is here to help. With the great rates at Desert View Federal Credit Union, you can get more truck for your money. Plus, for a limited time, Desert View is giving you up to 1% cash back. So go into a branch in Huntington or Farron today. Get pre-approved and get shopping for that truck before the hunt gets here.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
This year has been so different. There's been a lot more indoor time, which means more use for your carpets. Muddy feet, spills, even pet hair. Did your carpet make it? Well, with the holidays coming up, now is the perfect time to schedule an appointment with Clean Tech Cleaning and Restoration. They can get your carpets, tile, even your blinds cleaned in time for all your holiday festivities. Call Clean Tech Cleaning and Restoration at 650-1933 and leave the dirty work to them.
You were listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio.
You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 750 AM.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Forum Studios. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Thrilled to bring in our next guest. He's considered to be one of the greatest defensive coordinators in the history of the NFL. He first coached in the NFL back in 1976. That was with the Houston Oilers. Since then, he spent time with the New Orleans Saints, Philadelphia Eagles, Denver Broncos, Buffalo Bills, Atlanta Falcons, San Diego Chargers, Dallas Cowboys, Houston Texans, and the Los Angeles Rams. He was also part of the Super Bowl 50 championship squad with the Broncos and has coached some of the greatest defensive players in the game today, such as J.J. Watt and Aaron Donald, and also all-time like Reggie White, Bruce Smith, just to name a few. He's Coach Wade Phillips. Coach, it's a pleasure to get you on. I am really looking forward to the conversation today. Thank you.
You bet. I know I'll enjoy it.
I'm looking forward to it, Coach. I know there's a lot to talk about, including the book, your book, that was released just a couple of years back. It's called Son of Bum, Lessons My Dad Taught Me About Football and Life. And, Coach, it's such an interesting story front to back. I particularly really get into the latter part of the stories, and we can dive into some of those. But first off, what was it like putting together a book like this, kind of recollecting how you got into football and the lessons that your father had taught you?
It took a long time to do it, and we started talking about this and that, and then I'd remember something I hadn't thought about. I probably didn't put everything in there, but tried to put in things that I thought were interesting. But I really wanted to honor my dad. Some people knew about him, or heard about him, but, there's not going to be another coach in the NFL for sure on the sideline wearing a cowboy hat, that's for sure. So everything's more corporate now. So it was a unique character, and I wanted people to know about him.
Coach, what was the most important aspect for you to make sure was in this book? You talked about some of the things that maybe you had forgotten, or at times you thought, okay, we got to put this in the book. But for you, what was the most important aspect, maybe the most important story or maybe time frame that you needed to place in this book?
Well, I thought the thing about coaching and bitching is a chapter in the book, and it's coaching and griping. You don't gripe at people after they didn't do something the way you thought they should have. You should have taught them in the first place how you wanted it done, and teach them the techniques to do it. And then if they don't do it well enough, it's usually your fault. But so many coaches, and especially young coaches or Pop Warner coaches or whatever, they just holler and gripe at the kids after they do something they don't like, and that's not coaching. I wanted to clarify what coaching is.
I know we'd have to jump way ahead in the book, but I think it kind of ties into it in the last chapter. You're talking about any mistake you make is mine. It's kind of along the same lines as what you were just talking about. Coaching isn't bitching, right?
Yeah, I've always said that with the players, because I want them to go out and play as hard as they can play, and I've already taught them what I need to teach them, or to my best ability. We've taught them what they need to do and how to do it, and ask them to do it 100%. So just go out and play the game the way you've been taught. You're going to make mistakes. If you're making mistakes. You're probably not trying. I mean, you're trying. If you're making mistakes, at least you're trying to do it. So they go out and play as hard as they can play, and I'll take the mistakes. Those are mine because I didn't teach them the right thing or something that they can do better. If they try hard, that's what you want.
Now, Coach, if we start at the beginning of the book, or towards the beginning of the book, rather, I love the fact there's a picture of you when you were a high school quarterback, and I love that, even today, here we are talking about Wade Phillips in 2020. I know you just wrapped up your final season with the Los Angeles Rams, but if we go back to when your days began in high school as a football quarterback, how intricate was your dad to your success even at that level and your knowledge of the game?
Well, he coached me in high school. He was coaching me that picture. Was in high school. Well, he was my high school coach, so he you know, he's not only my dad, he coached me in high school, and then when I went to college and played defense, he was a defensive coordinator for a couple of years, and then I coached for him for 10 years. So I don't think there could be a bigger influence on somebody's life than what he was in mine.
You know, going over not only your coaching career, but also your dad's coaching career and how they started and even where they ended. I mean, your dad was a high school football coach and worked his way all the way up to the head coach of the Houston Oilers and the New Orleans Saints. And I know you started your coaching career as a defensive coordinator back in 1970 at the high school level. It didn't take a whole long for you to grab your first NFL gig, but to see that you were able to jump those levels, I mean, from high school to the NFL, boy, that's a journey and a half, isn't it?
Yeah, but I had a good mentor, you know. I could go to my dad and ask him, you know, and a lot of times the young coaches were arguing about, we do this way and that way. And he would say, hey, this is the way we do it. I've done it all these ways, and this is the best way to do it. So I learned, you know, I learned quicker about how to do things, how to teach things through his mistakes, I guess, beforehand, but he knew how to do it and what was the best way and had tried other ways. Plus, I was around the coaches that were around him that I was around. You know, you learn from them, too.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Wade Phillips. And, Coach, we're talking about Son of Bum. There's a chapter in this book. It's called If It's Third and a Mile, We Won't Give It to Him. It starts off with, I think, a very telling sentence. It says, your dad never forced the issue of you becoming a head coach. All he wanted was for you to be honest with yourself in choosing a career. So when was it that you said, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to be a coach?
My senior year in college, I was playing linebacker at University of Houston, and my dad was coaching in San Diego Chargers then, and I went out to training camp before our season, and I saw the linebackers that were playing NFL football. Well, I didn't, you know, I just played ball my whole life, and you know, I really didn't, like a lot of people, didn't really know what I wanted to do, and I realized that it was going to be the end of the line for my playing career, because I wasn't near as good. I could evaluate good enough to know that those linebackers in the NFL were a lot bigger and a lot faster, a lot stronger than I was, and that, you know, I wouldn't be playing football after the next season. So I decided then, you know, I needed to get on track as to what I was going to do, or how to make money, really. And I was a math major, so you know, you could be a math teacher, but I didn't know what else I could do with that degree, and I knew a whole lot about coaches and coaching because I lived with one, you know. So I knew it took sacrifices, and because I was a coach's kid, but I knew all about what coaches did, and so I thought, well, you know, if I can't play, I'd love to coach because I still love the game.
There is a quote in here that says defense is so much easier to play than offense. It's a quote from your dad. Was it because of your dad that you decided to become a defensive guru? I mean, you played quarterback in high school, but was it because of your dad that you wanted to become a defensive guru, or where did that fit into your coaching career?
Well, I played quarterback and middle linebacker in high school. And in my freshman year in college, I played quarterback. In my sophomore year, you couldn't play as a freshman those days. Mm-hmm. They weren't eligible to play. So, on the team. So, going into my sophomore year, they said, "Hey, you can redshirt a quarterback, or you have a chance to start at linebacker." And I said, "Well, I think I'll play linebacker." And so I ended up, you know, playing 3 years at linebacker. So I really just went that direction because of the way. And I don't think I would have been a great quarterback, but I was a decent linebacker.
So why is defense so much easier than offense? Can you clarify that quote from your father? What makes it so much easier than offense?
Well, offense, you have to set up the plays, and there's, you know, there's thousands of plays. But defense is just reaction to those plays. So defense is more reactive. Offense, you've got to learn plays and what everybody does on that play. Defensively, you got to basically whip the guy in front of you and get to the football, or go to the football, or cover your guy, you know. So it's simpler that way, and so to a great extent. The thing that makes it complicated is the offenses are so complicated now with all the motions and different, you know, the different things they do and different formations. You have to adjust to those things. But you're still playing man on man, or you're playing beat the guy in front of you a lot more than offensive guys are. They're trying to run intricate plays.
Coach, you have such a proven track record, and you've been well-traveled throughout your NFL days. I mean, a couple of stints with the Denver Broncos. Of course, you won a Super Bowl, Super Bowl 54, and we can talk about that. But if we're talking about the Falcons and the Chargers and the Cowboys and the Texans and the Rams, how difficult is it to go from location to location and still manage to have the type of success that you have had, especially if we're just talking about short stints with these franchises?
I think our teaching progression is very good, the way we teach our defense. You know, we keep it simple enough that players can learn quickly. We've had, you know, the first year we went in, and I think the last seven times as a coordinator, we went to playoffs the first year. So you have to have a... It's a teaching system. It's not the system itself as far as playing a 3-4, but it's the teaching system and progression and how quickly you progress those guys. We've just done it a lot of times.
Coach, I have so many other questions. I would love to even dig a little bit deeper into the book and maybe even talk about your latest stint with the Los Angeles Rams and even the Denver Broncos. Do you have time to hang around for one more segment?
You bet.
Still to come with the best of Drive Time Sports, more from legendary coach Wade Phillips, plus Time Magazine's Tom Callahan.
Say you cut, sprained, strained, or bruised yourself, or you or your child feels achy, drippy, cruddy, and terrible. Where do you go? For urgencies that aren't emergencies, walk into Castleview Urgent Care. They're here to make sure your strained, bruised, achy, cruddy ailments are treated quickly and without an appointment. Walk-ins are welcome Monday through Friday from noon to 8 and weekends from 9 to 1. Castleview Urgent Care, making communities healthier.
When you come to Castle Valley Orthodontics, patients can find a full range of dental braces and aligners, from traditional braces to newer options such as Invisalign or clear braces. Clear or invisible braces offer treatment that is more convenient and less noticeable than traditional metal brackets. Castle Valley Orthodontics believes that everyone deserves a straight and healthy smile, and that's why they make braces affordable. Call the Castle Valley Orthodontics team today for a no-obligation consultation at 435-637-2222.
When selling your home, you want to make as much money as you can. But do you know how? Your local realtor does. Their professional experience will help you to understand how to make the most of such a large transaction. Plus, they can help you know what changes need to be made to prepare your home before you list it, to make sure you get as much money as you can out of it. Your home is one of the biggest investments you'll make. Make sure you're getting the most out of it and call a local realtor today. This message brought to you by the Carbon Emory Board of Realtors.
Ready, Aim, Fire. Carbon County Recreation will be having a winter indoor archery program on Saturdays beginning November 7th. Archery will be held every Saturday at the Carbon County Event Center from 9 to 1 p.m. Fees are $10 per person for adults and just $5 for youth 17 and under. Discounted punch passes are available. Concessions will also be open. What a great family event. Bring your kids and start making memories. For a complete schedule, call 636-3702.
What could be better than high school football and a hot bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken? What could be better than an afternoon soccer game and a hot bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken? What could be better than a baseball game and a hot bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken? You get the point, right? Everything is better when you add a hot bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Eating that juicy golden fried chicken and watching your team play live is the best combination ever. Get to KFC before your next game.
You were listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, continuing our conversation with legendary NFL football coach Wade Phillips, most recently of the Los Angeles Rams. And, Coach, I want to pick up the conversation by talking about your ability to get through to players. And I guess an example of the question, most recently, you were tasked with leading the defense in Los Angeles that had a few unique personalities on it, with Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib. You had a lot of success with Talib in Denver as well, as you were to win a Super Bowl. And this is just a couple of examples. How is it that you managed to continue to keep egos and personalities in check over the course of your career?
Well, you know, I have an advantage in that when I come in, they've heard of me, you know, and they have a positive feeling about it, you know. Whether I do or not, they think I know what I'm doing. So, you know, that does help. I mean, you know, they think, well, this guy, they won here when he was there. They won there. You know, their defenses were really great. So he knows what he's doing. So they listen to what you're doing. I mean, what you're teaching. And they all want to win. And they all want to, you know, the great ones want to even be better. I mean, you know, the guys you talked about were great. And then we had Aaron Donald. It was amazing. I mean, he's Defensive Player of the Year 2 years in a row, and he still wants to get better all the time. So, I mean, you know, that helps you a lot, too, having great players that really try to even improve themselves.
You mentioned Aaron Donald. I got to ask you, what makes Aaron Donald so great? I mean, in my opinion, he's the greatest football player on planet Earth right now. What is it that makes Aaron Donald so special?
Yeah, I compare him. I had Reggie White. Reggie was a lot bigger, but the comparison is both of them were more powerful than the guys they played against, no matter who they played against. And Aaron's so much more powerful and so much he can generate speed. I don't know if it's kinetic energy or what kind of energy it is, but I know that he has such great speed and the power and strength to go with it that he overpowers people. And Reggie White was the same way when I had him. So, you know, that's the only comparison I can give. And he's amazing, and he tries to get better all the time. That's the great thing about it. And a great person. Both those guys were great people. They had great pride in themselves, and they're great teammates. So that's my comparison.
I know you went to the Super Bowl 53 with the Rams, and when you look at the front line, I mean, Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh and Michael Brockers. Coach, have you had a more potent, more deadly defensive front in your coaching career as a defensive coordinator than that group right there going to Super Bowl 53?
Well, Super Bowl 50 now, that group was...
special.
With Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware coming off the edge, and you talk about Talib and Chris Harris and our cover people were, I mean, we shut down a pretty good Carolina Panther team that had been scoring 40 points a game in the playoffs, and we held them to 10 and basically scored two touchdowns on defense in the Super Bowl. So that team's hard to beat. Maybe not all up front, but the pass rush we had was tremendous.
Yeah, was that the greatest defensive performance from an individual we've seen in a Super Bowl with Von Miller in Super Bowl 50? I mean, it's a fair argument, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, they compared the game to the 85 Bears, and I agree with that. I mean, it was one of the great defensive performances. Now, you have to say that New England had a pretty good defensive performance against us in 53 when they held us, the Rams, to 3 points. So, even though we held them to 13, which I thought was really good, but they had a great game plan and won that game.
Coach, going back over the course of your career, and this include, I guess we can remove your dad from the equation. Who was the most interesting head coach you served under as a DC?
Most interesting.
Most interesting coach.
I've been with some great coaches, you know. And, you know, each one of them were interesting in their own way. I mean, it's hard to pick one out, but, you know, I coached with Dan Reeves twice, who's won 200 games. Marty Seidenheimer has won 200 games. Buddy Ryan was interesting, that's for sure. and controversial, but he was interesting. And then Marv Levy is in the Hall of Fame. I mean, you know, I coached for him, so... You know, I can go on and on. You know, coaching for your dad is pretty neat, though. You know, I mean, that's my best. But all those guys, almost everybody I worked for was outstanding.
Did you ever think you would serve as a defensive coordinator for someone that was that much your junior in Sean McVay? I mean, that's a true testament to just the staying power you have had in the NFL.
Well, I didn't. You know, I coached with now Gary Kubiak. You know, was a Super Bowl winner as a head coach too, and you know he was playing when I coached at Denver the first time, so he's a lot younger. And of course, Sean is very young, but he's not young in football knowledge. He knows a lot of football, and that's amazing for his age. But he really does.
Coach, I know we have a lot of Bronco fans in the area, so I got to make sure we talk about this. And again, it's in the book, Son of Bum, Lessons My Dad Taught Me About Football and Life. You talked about a game ball being signed and given to you by the team. And I know it's a very special part of this book, and you make point that you have received several game balls, but you had never received a game ball from the entire defense. And I'm sure Bronco fans would love to hear this story.
Yeah, they give out game balls, and some coaches, it's a head coach that gives them out to the team or coaches or whoever. They, you know, after a ball game, they see who played good and they give a game ball. And so I've had quite a few in my career. And before the game we played, I talked to the team and I'd lost my dad. You know, and it'd been a couple of years, but. You know, I always think about him, and I said, you know, you need to play for somebody else besides yourself. I mean, you play the game, and yeah, you're playing for yourself, but I said, pick out somebody that you would play this game for and play for them too, and I think it'll help you play better. And I said, I'm dedicating this game to my dad, you know, and I'm going to coach it for him. And I really do that every year. I don't tell the team every year, but so after the game, we won, and, you know, we played good and won the game, and they gave out the game balls, and, you know, I don't know who got them, but whoever got them. But then when we came back to practice the next day, the players said, we want to give you a game ball. And it really meant, I mean, it still sends chills through me. I mean, it was something special that, you know, that never happened to me.
I know you conclude the book by talking about how great it was to win Super Bowl 50 in that Super Bowl ring, but really the premise of this book, nothing could compare to the time you spent with your dad on the football field, right? I mean, that's kind of what I took from it.
That's it, yeah. That's exactly it, you know. Football's a game, you know, but my dad was life to me. It was my life, certainly, and influenced it. And I want everybody to kind of see him, I wrote it to honor him.
Well, Coach, it's definitely been fun to talk with you over the last 15 or 20 minutes. You're one of my favorite follows on Twitter, so before I let you go, you got to throw out the Twitter handle so people can give you a follow on social media if they're not following you already.
Yeah, it's at Son of Bum, and if you read the book or get the book, read it, and tell me how you liked it on Twitter, and ask me a question if you want to, so.
Coach, thank you so much for the time. I know we kind of bounced all over the place. I just had so many questions I wanted to ask you in a very short period of time, so hopefully that was okay for you.
I appreciate it. You did a good job. Well, thank you.
Still to come with the best of Drive Time Sports, Time Magazine's Tom Callahan.
Let's talk diesel engines, because at Landon's Diesel is what they do best. Landon's Diesel prides themselves on being diesel experts, so why would you take your diesel vehicle for even a simple oil change to anyone else? At Landon's Diesel, their staff is trained and certified to keep your diesel running properly. You drive a diesel for a reason: great fuel mileage, power, and dependability, so make sure you treat it to an oil change by diesel engine experts at Landon's Diesel on 300 West in Price.
Imagine having the perfect snow shovel, one that takes the work out of shoveling the snow, one where the snow doesn't stick, it just rolls off the blade like a plow. A shovel with a 6-year guarantee against breakage, that has a D-grip handle and is lightweight. Hi, this is Alan at Peterson Chemical and Janitorial, and we've been selling the Bigfoot snow shovel for over 30 years. Come on down to 373 South, 100 West in Price, and get yours today. That's Peterson Chemical Company.
Hey, Tom, you just roofed your house, didn't you?
Yes. Yes, I did. I saved a ton of money doing it myself, too.
Who did you hire to haul all the bundles of shingles to the top of the roof?
I didn't have to hire anyone. I bought my roofing at Magnuson Lumber. They delivered it rooftop for me.
I didn't know anyone did that. It had to cost a lot.
Actually, no. And it saved my back and a whole lot of time. Stop by their store in Castledale and get your roof done so we can go fishing.
When you think home improvements, think Magnuson Lumber in Castledale. They carry what you're looking for to get your home improvement projects done.
I'm here at the year's hottest stag pool party.
Put your antlers up!
Where? Some poor guy's backyard. These stags are bringing down the house. Seriously, deer are ripping holes in the pool cover. They're trampling patio furniture. And all the damage was covered, thanks to Farmers Insurance. Stag Pool Party, October 27th, 2014. Talk to a farmer's agent. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Call me, Billy Vigor, at 637-3077 or visit me online, billyvigorinsurance.com.
You were listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio. You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 750 AM.
Joining us over the phone right now, we have a very special guest. He is an author, Tom Callahan. New York Times best-selling author at that, and he's got a new book out. It's called God's Play, an eyewitness account of great moments in American sports. Tom has also served as a writer for Time Magazine and also the Washington Post, among other stops, and he's joining us over the phone right now. Tom, first off, it is a pleasure to get you on the show today. I definitely appreciate the time. Thank you.
No, you're welcome.
Tom, I got to be honest with you. This is a book that really sparked my interest right out of the gate because, well, we're talking about eyewitness accounts of your time in sports, which spans all the way back into the mid-1960s. And while we get authors on the show often, it's typically a story about one particular event or season or team or person. This book, boy, it spans numbers, and that's what is so interesting to me. I mean, it's everything from talking about Roberto Clemente to Muhammad Ali to Secretariat to even some people that we really probably have never even heard of if we're talking about the Special Olympics. I mean, boy, you cover a lot in this book.
Yeah, well, it's, there's nothing in this book that I wasn't personally there for. I'm not writing about anything I heard of. I was there. I was on the scene. I just happened to be, you know, this strange life I've lived. You know, I was at the finish line for all of Secretariat's Triple Crown races. I ran out onto the track when Ruffian broke down. I was in Africa for Ali Foreman. You know, I was at a million Olympic Games, and I talked to Ted Williams. I talked to Cool Papa Bell, you know, and I talked to Althea Gibson and Jesse Owens. I've had this kind of lucky life, and it's really a book of small moments. You know, I found looking back, the memories that stayed with me are the tiniest memories, not the big ones.
It's funny you bring that up. I was having a conversation about 2 weeks ago with a friend of mine about some of the great names that I've got to interview, and I think you're exactly right. You remember the small things, especially those interviews in person, maybe some side conversations that you didn't necessarily take anything for an article or for a radio segment. I mean, it's the little moments, and so that really makes a lot of sense, Tom.
Yeah, well, a typical little memory in my book, the 1972 World Series started in Cincinnati, and before Game 2, Jackie Robinson was on the field, and he was 57 then, but he looked, I'm sorry, he was 53 then, but he looked 73, white-haired, virtually blind from diabetes. 9 days later, he dropped dead, and of course, all the black players on the A's and the Reds surrounded him, you know, on the field, and they just wanted to touch him. Everybody but the second baseman, Joe Morgan, little black second baseman Joe Morgan. And he, he's continued playing catch on the side. When the announcement came for all the ununiformed personnel to get off the field, Morgan went up behind Robinson. And he didn't say, "This is Joe Morgan." He said simply, in a voice so low I had to lean in to hear him, "Thank you." Robinson, without turning around, said, "You're welcome." I followed Jackie into the Reds' dugout and up the ramp to the clubhouse, where he ran into Jim Murray of the L.A. Times. And Murray said, "Jackie, it's Jim Murray." And Robinson said, Oh, Jim, I wish I could see you again." And Murray said, "No, Jackie, I wish we could see you again." I don't remember the score of the game that day, but I remember that exchange so well. And that's what this book is about. You know, it's about all the small little things that maybe didn't fit before.
Yeah, and Tom, and speaking of that, I mean, over the course of your illustrious career covering sports all the way through and through, was it difficult to put that in 265 pages?
Not really, you know, because it was easy. I just you know, told about it's a sports writing memoir, you know, and it's just stories I've been telling forever, and a lot of stories I've never told before. And some of them, you know, in the process of doing it, there's this surprise involved, because you start writing things that you know you didn't know how to do it before, how to make them fit. I didn't set out with any big agenda. I just sat down. I didn't outline it. I didn't, you know, I just, you know, I knew when I got to golf, it was going to be Tiger, and I was going to write a lot about the trip. I went to Vietnam looking for Tiger Fong, his namesake, and being in Tiger's living room with him. When the Escalade hit the fire hydrant, I sent Tiger an email, said, "How close did you come to enlisting?" And he sent me an email back saying, I've thought of being in the military my whole life." But I knew I was going to get to Alley. And I knew Larry Bird and Gretzky were going to be in that. I was on an airplane with Bird years ago, and we were talking about Oscar Robertson. And I said to him, "I said, Larry, I guess I wouldn't trade Jordan for Oscar, or you for Oscar, or Magic for Oscar. But he had something. He was better than the three of you at something." And Bird looked at me and he said, "Yeah, basketball." But you can't think of a better line. All through this thing, the best speakers isn't me. It's Kareem Jabbar. You know, I'm in a hotel with Kareem in Houston near the end of his career, and I told him, I said, Lucius Allen, who played with him with both UCLA and the Milwaukee Bucks, I said, "Lucius Allen told me that you, when he first knew you, you were intimidated by your own height." And Kareem said, "Ashamed is a better word." He said, I was ashamed of how high my head was over my high school classmates. He said, "You should see the cap and gown photo." And he said, "I couldn't find any role models. For years I couldn't find them." I said, "But you finally did." And he said, "Yes." I said, "Who are they?" "I'm not sure I want to say." And I said, "Will Chamberlain?" And he laughed at me. He said, "Are you crazy?" And we laughed together. And then he stopped first. In a very soft voice, he said, "The Empire State Building. The redwood trees." Well, you can't make up a better line than that.
Right.
You know? And yeah. And it's amazing over the years how often that happened. You know, how many little insightful things happen in front of me, you know. And I was lucky enough to hang around with some great writers early on. Of course, the cost of that is you lose them one by one. But I was Red Smith's last best friend, and he in those days, sports writers used to travel as entries, like racehorses, 101A, and when Red was getting up there, and he was losing his legs, he would start writing his column in the press box at a big event, and I'd go down to get a quote, and I'd come up, and half the time he didn't want me to interrupt him. You know, he'd say, I'm rich, you know, in other words, leave me alone. And but one time in Yankee Stadium, I said to him, hey, Red, I got to stop you. And so he stopped, and I had dropped by. It was a Dodger game. Reggie Jackson had hit three home runs off three first deliveries from three different pitchers to win the World Series. And I dropped by Steve Garvey's locker in the L.A. Locker room, and he told me, he said, the third time Reggie rounded first base, when I was sure nobody was looking, I applauded into my glove. Well, that was Red's punchline the next day and mine.
Again, Tom Callahan, our guest right now as we talk about his new book, God's at Play, an eyewitness account of great moments in American sports. Tom has agreed to hang around for two segments. We're going to break for just a moment. We'll come back and finish up our conversation, and we'll continue talking about this fascinating book right here on Drive Time Sports.
We're all taking advantage of the drive-thru these days, getting what we want while still maintaining social distancing. Did you know that you can find the same drive-thru service at Smart Health Pharmacy? That's right. With Smart Health Pharmacy in Huntingdon, you can get all your prescriptions without even going into the pharmacy. They also carry a full line of CBD products and doTERRA oils. Smart Health Pharmacy is here to help you take care of your all-around health, and you can get it all at the drive-thru. It's your health. Be smart about it. Smart Health Pharmacy.
For some children, visiting the dentist for the first time can be a little stressful. Price Pediatric Dental understands and has some tips to ease a child's anxiety. Bring your child in to meet the staff and tour the office before any dental work is done. They can even sit in the dentist chair and have a conversation. This will allow him or her to become familiar with the staff and office environment. Price Pediatric Dental specializes in making sure a child's visit is a positive one. Call to schedule an appointment today at 637-9590.
Career and technical education programs at Utah State University Eastern offer hands-on and career-focused courses that prepare you for a rewarding career. Choose from three areas of focus: health professions, technical professions, or business and marketing. Students enrolled in the career and technical education programs pay only $82 per credit. For more information and a list of programs, visit usueastern.edu/CTE. USU Eastern, small enough to care, big enough to get you places.
Hello, Castle Country. Jay here with Castle Country Hobby Ponds Gun and Ammo. Have you ever thought about owning an AR-15? How would you like to custom build your own AR-15? Come into Castle Country Hobby Pond Guns and Ammo, and we'll show you how. We have all the necessary parts and equipment you'll need to build your own custom AR-15. That's Castle Country Hobby Ponds Gun and Ammo at 828 East Main Street in Price. Or give us a call at 637-PON. We'll see you soon.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
Tom Callahan, our guest right now, as he talks about his new book, moments from his new book, and I'm telling you, it is fascinating. It's God's at Play, and it was released on Tuesday. It's an eyewitness account of great moments in American sports. And boy, Tom, as you're going off and you're talking about these moments, I mean, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is a sports figure that I have followed and I have studied in depth for many, many years, multiple decades. I mean, I'm fascinated by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. One of the other stories or moments that we can talk about, you had mentioned already Muhammad Ali and George Foreman. When you talk about this epic showdown between these two legendary figures, and unfortunately with Muhammad Ali no longer being with us, I'm always all ears whenever I hear George Foreman talk about this particular moment. You got to share your experience and your memories of that epic showdown between Foreman and Ali.
Well, you know, Ali, every time he saw me, he said the same thing. How's Angie? I like her better than you. Never met her, you know, but one time I was on the phone with him and I was desperate to get off because of the deadline, and I handed the phone to my wife and went into the next room, wrote a column. An hour and a half later I came out, they were still talking. And he and I always had a kind of a nice relationship, you know. In Africa, a lot of the important writers, you know, like Norman Mailer were there, And Mailer was at a workout one day, and he says to Ali, he says, "You're the champ of fighters. I'm the champ of writers." And then he walked away. And Ali looked at me, and he said, "Mosquito's the champ of biters." And I said, "Zippo's the champ of lighters." You know, and we laughed. You know, we kind of had a relationship. He came into the hacienda where the writers did their typing, and he saw on the wall a betting pool, and I had Foreman and won. I thought, I was afraid, you know, Foreman was knocking guys out of the ring in
sure.
those days, you know,
yep.
Ken Norton and Joe Frazier. And Ali looked at that, and he said, "Come outside." And we walked to the Congo River. This is dramatic, you know. It was blacker than half past midnight, you know, and it's there's hyacinths floating down the river. And he said, "I want to tell you something. I don't want you ever to forget it. Black men scare white men more than black men scare black men." And, of course, that's right. We were afraid of Foreman. And I said to him, "Well, aren't you a little afraid?" And he said, "Yes." He said, I've got to have my fear. He said, "I can't do without my fear, but only a little." I told him, I said, "Angelo Dundee says he's never seen you so uptight." And he said, "This is my destiny." Well, I knew I was wrong in one round, because he spent the first round just trying to assure himself that Foreman couldn't hit him in the head. And when the first bell rang, this is 4 o'clock in the morning in Africa, and you know they have to time fights by 10 o'clock New York time. So Ali came to his corner, spit out his mouthpiece, and shouted over my head to Herbert Muhammad, his manager, Elijah Muhammad's son, "Leave him to me." And I laughed. I knew I was wrong right then. But he was that was an amazing event, you know, an amazing memory, you know, I have a lot of memories that surround him because he was the most compelling figure in my time. But there are a lot, you know, there are lots of athletes that I was lucky enough to be standing nearby when things happened.
Again, Tom Callahan, our guest right now. Tom, obviously, with it being right in the heart of baseball season, we have to talk about Roberto Clemente. Correct me if I'm wrong. You saw his 3,000th hit, correct? You were there for that moment.
I did. That was in Three Rivers. In fact, I saw the false start the day before. He hit a ball on the third to last day of the season. He stuck on 2999, and he hit a ball through the infield that slapped the second baseman's mitt and went out in the outfield. And now the lights go on the scoreboard, full house, 3,000, 3,000, 3,000. And Clemente standing on first base, holding his cap in the air. And in the press box, a little gray sports writer from McKeesport, Pennsylvania, a guy named Luke Quay. He's into a microphone, he goes, "E4. You know, error on the second baseman. The gutsiest call in the history of official scoring. Yeah. And so it wasn't a hit after all. And so afterwards, and Clemente was furious. He turned into Rumpelstiltskin, you know, by his locker. He was furious. But then he thought a guy named Charlie Feeney had been scoring. And Feeney, showing a lot of restraint, heard him out, didn't say anything, and then finally said, "It wasn't me, Bobby. You know, it was your Bobo, Luke Quay." And Clemente turned on a dime and said, "Well, I don't want a cheap hit anyway. I'll get it tomorrow." And he did. He got a double. And then he could sit out the final game of the season. Well, the final day of the year, of course, he crashed into the ocean near Puerto Rico dead at 38. You know, he was on a mercy mission. And it hit me in the stomach. When I heard the news, I couldn't breathe for a full minute. And it's not like we were mates. We weren't. I knew him, but I didn't, you know, I didn't know him all that well. But during that playoff, a few days later, they played off with the Reds, and the playoff ended in the worst possible way, a wild pitch. Bob Moose threw a wild pitch that settled the season. And I went into the visitors' clubhouse afterward. All the sports writers went to the winners, but I didn't want to get, you know, covered in champagne. So I had Clemente all to myself. And he said to me, sitting at the locker, his last locker, though neither of us knew it, and he said, how many opposite field home runs have you ever seen Bench hit? Johnny Bench had led off the bottom of the ninth with a home run right over his head in right field. And I said, I said, Roberto, I said, I can't think of another one. I think that's the only one. And he said, I thought so. You know, but he was, you know, he was okay. He wasn't, you know, totally upset. I had interviewed Manny Sanguin during that series, sitting in the dugout. He was that, you know, sweet guy catcher with a fractured smile. It looked like his teeth had been hammered in his head by a drunken cobbler. You know, and he was telling me about Clemente. He said, he's my father sometimes, he's my brother sometimes. He says, we go to dinner on the road. He likes to go to places that are good, and he loves it if there's a piano. And he doesn't sing along, but he looks like he's about to at any second. He said, I love him, you know. Well, 4 days into the new year, there was this memorial service in Pittsburgh, and the only player who wasn't there was Sanguin, which shocked everybody. Where's Sangy? And it turned out he was near Puerto Rico. He had joined the searchers. He was diving in shark-infested waters looking for his friend's body, which was never found.
Dom, we can end with this because I am running short on time. I could talk to you all day and listen to these stories. I mean, it's absolutely phenomenal. But we'll go back to horse racing. You mentioned Secretariat. So if we just look at gods at play, right, and we look at the most dominating performances in historical history, do you ever see anything like Secretariat?
No. I was at the finish line. I didn't go back to the press box because I wanted to quickly get to Penny Tweedy and, you know, Lucien Laurent and everybody. And I barely know which end of a horse eats, so I can't read the tote board. I can read this. There was only a 5-horse race at the Belmont, and I can see they had 4 places. I can see he's in first, you know, and you hear all the noise, but I can't see past the infield into the backstretch. But anyway, I'm looking as Secretary comes into the home stretch. And he keeps coming, and he's alone. Now he keeps coming, and he's still alone. I had no idea that he's running the fastest mile and a half ever to this day. They haven't broken that record to this day. And I had no idea that he was 31 lengths in front of the second horse.
That's incredible. It's incredible.
That plays on your spine.
Oh, yeah. No question. And the reason I ask that question is because I have always felt like it was the most dominating performance in professional sports history, and you have seen some incredible things. And for you to talk about that and say, yeah, it still plays on my spine, I mean, it's obviously, I guess the word incredible gets tossed around so often in sports that maybe it's an understatement when you describe his performance. You've never seen anything like it?
No, and I haven't seen anything like it since.
Tom Callahan, again, author of the book Gods at Play, an eyewitness account of great moments in American sports. It's not Tom's first book. In fact, he has several. And Tom, before I let you go, first off, I want to thank you for taking out the time to speak to us for about 20 minutes. And again, I could listen to you speak on these stories all day long. It's absolutely fascinating. But please, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work. And of course, if they are interested in more than just Gods at Play, you have other options as well.
It's the usual places. Don't buy it. It's in the library. It'll be in the library. Read it for free. nobody believes me when I say this, but no, I enjoyed talking with you. It's great.
You've been listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Listen on demand anytime, anywhere at CastleCountryRadio.com.
This is Eastern Utah's news and weather station, 107.3 FM and 750 AM, KOAL, Price.